You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to Ironcast, and welcome. 51 league games for West Ham across two spells, and rumour has it, a boyhood West Ham fan. Welcome to Ironcast, Lee Bowyer.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm honoured to be sitting next to Ginger again. We're long enough apart that he ain't going to kick me, so I'm happy.
I don't know. Give them back. Don't worry about that. Did you used to sit near each other in the dressing room? Who did you sit next to?
Yeah, I can't remember who I used to sit next to, but we always.
It was all pretty tight at Chad Relief, mate.
Yeah, Chad Relief, it was tight. We always stayed in touch, good friends. Like we had a good group then, didn't we, Ginge?
Well, we ended up in Birmingham together a little bit as well, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
You was up there when I was up at Villa as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm. Did you bump into each other in the nightclubs of Birmingham?
We had passed the nightclubs by then.
Something like that.
Sunday afternoon pubs. Yeah. That was about it.
So, Lee, I touched on it at the start. The rumour was always, because you're born in Canning Town, that you are a childhood West Ham fan. Are those rumours true?
Part of it. I wasn't brought up in Canning Town.
Right.
I was brought up in Poplar.
Okay.
So just not far.
Not far.
Yeah. But everyone likes the Canning Town saying because that's the...
It sounds more West Ham.
It sounds better, doesn't
Poplar,
it?
Yeah.
So, but obviously, yeah, a big West Ham fan. And there was other rumours that me and Nobes was related.
I remember that.
That he was my cousin, but that wasn't true either. as much as I would like Nobes to have been my cousin, he's a lovely lad, but that wasn't true. But my cousin did play in the same kids team as Nobes coming through at West Ham. So maybe that was the link where people thought that he was my cousin, but no, unfortunately he's not.
But you used to go to West Ham games.
From a young age. Like I just heard Crofty there speaking and I used to go as a young kid, watch Jules Paris and Devonshire and Billy Bonds and times like John Lowell was manager at certain times and then it was like the McAvenny era and Tony Cotty, you know, so... Julian Dix, Ray Stewart, proper penalty takers, you know. So, yeah. And I was also at that cup final that Crofty was talking about, the cup game that Crofty was talking about against Liverpool. I was also at that game, the 4-1 where Paul Ince scored two. So I was also there. So,
oh, man. Where would you position yourself? Were you in the kind of north bank behind the goal? Were the kids pressed up against the net?
Yeah, I was. So next to where the away fans were, then there was like a little metal separator, and then me and my mates, we'd been like the bit next to them, and then it's let's all form a circle and all that. That was one of the songs that used to go around, and people used to get bundled across the circle that you'd formed. So, yeah, good times.
Oh, so you really are proper West Ham fan.
I tried to keep that to myself a little bit. You know, I couldn't get too far ahead of myself, when I played for the club. That was a massive part of my career that I wanted to tick off. And you said 51 appearances. That disappoints me. I would like to have played more. I think the first time I came, I was injured when I arrived. Mm. So that didn't end well. But the second time, that's why I came back. because I felt like people didn't see the real me because I was obviously playing with an injury at the time, the first time. So yeah, that was the big part of me coming back the second time.
We'll get through to when you actually started playing for West Ham. But I wanted to deal with the early part of your career because you played for Senrab, which also Bobby Zamora, Paul Konchesky, a famous boys team just around the corner, John Terry, Ledley King, so many great players come through from that team. But the connections to West Ham, like, you're right on the doorstep, you're playing for Senrab, you end up at Charlton. Yeah. Why? Explain yourself. I'm still annoyed.
It's a long story, but I'll cut it as short as I possibly can without boring everyone. So when I was a young kid, I was playing at Senrab, and then I got picked up by West Ham as a kid. So I must have been around 7, 8 years old, something like that. And then I was going to Trad Relief and training in the indoor AstroTurf, like, which was obviously like concrete back then. It's a bit different now.
I don't know.
Is it still the same?
No, they've done a lot.
Yeah, I like to think they've done a bit more now. So I was there for a few years training at West Ham Academy as a kid. And then I ended up moving on to Arsenal. So then I went on to Arsenal from there, done a few years there in their academy. And then they released me when I was like 13, 14, something along them lines. They said I was too small. I don't get it, you know. Quite a big fella, like. they released me, and then I ended up going to Charlton around 14, 15, whatever age I was that I left Arsenal. And went on from there. So then I ended up breaking through Charlton's academy. I think I played first team when I was 17. So,
wow.
So yeah.
And who at Senrab? Who were you playing? Were you playing with any teammates that went on to become?
No. So it's mad. Like every age group, I think like Muzizi, he played for him as well. You know, and I think every age group there would be one or two that came through and went on to play at a higher level. There was one lad called Michael Black that I used to play with. And he was at Arsenal Academy, and like they released me when I was a kid, but they kept him because he was like the golden child. Every club has a golden child. I'm guessing Nobes was the golden child at West Ham, you know. So, but they kept Michael, released me, and then I went on to do whatever I done, and Michael might have played like some non-league stuff, I think. So the odd player does come through from each age group, like Bobby, a couple of years younger than me.
What was it with that team, Bo? Why do you think you had so many? Was it the area you was in and just the football you were playing on the street and that maybe? Or
yeah.
Because there's so many names. The list is endless of the boys who came through.
I just think like where we was brought up, Ginge, you know, like we weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth, you know, like you had to earn everything and do everything the right way. And then where we never really had much to do, and then all you done is play football. Like that was our life. I'd come home from school and I'd play football, like get my mates, right, let's go and play football. You'd go and play for Senrab on a Sunday, and then you'd come home and then you'd play football, like everything was football. I think and because of the area where you brought up, you have to be tough and you have to earn everything. And I think that's a big part of why a lot of footballers are from the areas that they're from. Because you have to be hungry and earn everything that where you want to get to. And I would say, you would be the same, Gene, from Wales.
Well, yeah, it's the same. I say it all the time. That's all it was to do, was play football. We didn't have the numbers, obviously, of players and caliber players you had, but it's right. You'd be at the school or you'd be out playing football till your mum called you in for your dinner every day. And then you play on the weekend, you do the same next week.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, like the numbers and the names that have come through is frightening.
Mm. Yeah, it really is incredible. But it wasn't at Charlton that I'd say you came to national prominence. It was at Leeds, specifically this Champions League run, 2001, and your performances as well, goals against the likes of AC Milan, Barcelona. It was a great Leeds team. But now we know what happened after that, you know, Leeds running out of money. My question to you would be, when Leeds are on this great run, did you get the sense that where was the money coming from? Did that ever
No, because especially me, but most players, they live in their own bubble. Like you've got your own bubble, you've got your routine. You go to training, you come home, you relax, you eat, you play golf, whatever you do. I especially didn't take any notice of anything else because all I loved was training and playing, and the camaraderie with all the players. I loved that. Everything else to do with football, I didn't really enjoy. So all the travelling here, there, and everywhere. I didn't love it, you know. Obviously, you have to do it, but that wasn't a big part of why I liked football. But for me, the biggest thing, like, I was so in my own little bubble. I couldn't tell you anything that was happening away from the training pitch, like behind the scenes with the club. Like my friends, what you're talking about them Champions League days. My friends used to ring me and say, "Oh, Lee, you're playing Valencia and you're playing against this player," and I'm thinking, who's he?
I don't know.
I don't even know who he is. Like, I don't watch no European football. Like, I didn't care. I would just turn up, do my job, play, go home. Do you know what I mean? And they'd be like, get his shirt. I'm, who's he? Who's he? Like, so, yeah, I just lived in my own bubble.
Yeah.
What a team, though, you had there then.
Yeah.
And we never won nothing. As well, that Champions League run, those games.
How we didn't win nothing was crazy. Like, and it was such a young squad as well. Like, most of them, a lot of them come through the academy. You had the likes of Ian Hart, Harry Kewell, Jonathan Woodgate, Alan Smith, Paul Robinson, the goalkeeper. Like the spine of the team was solid. And then they introduced like Rio. Rio come from West Ham to Leeds. Viduka, Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank, Robbie Fowler. Like the strikers I played with is ridiculous. I was fortunate, and we had a good team, and we was fearless, and people talk about camaraderie, and we had a great group of lads. This was like unreal what we had, like
on and off the pitch,
like we would do everything together. So even on the way, like we're driving to a Champions League game, and then we'd have a sing song on the bus on the way to the game. Normally people do it after. But we were so relaxed and comfortable in what we all brought to the team. We would do this and just like have a sing song. It'd be mad. And then get off the bus and then just go and win a game and then jump back on. And
just like it was normal.
Yeah, go again.
So it's January 2003, you start thinking about leaving Leeds. And before West Ham really come on the radar, you nearly go to Liverpool.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, I remember the newspapers, like the deal was done and it seemed to get pulled at the last minute. And Gerard Houllier said something like, questioned your desire or something like that. And I know that Ginger, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but you know, not massive fan. It's not fair to say you're a huge fan of Gerard Houllier.
Yeah, for different reasons. But
yeah,
we'll,
for different reasons. But what, we'll so why did that Liverpool transfer not happen? You know, it seemed like it was a done deal.
It was, I was there having a medical. And
it was that far. It was done.
Yeah, I was there halfway through my medical. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, I've just done 6 years, I think, at Leeds. And both clubs had agreed the deal. And then I was just laying there thinking, hold on, I've just done 6 years at Leeds. I'm now going to go to Liverpool for another 5 years. That's 11 years away from home. Like, I'm a homely person. Liverpool's even further away from home than what Leeds is. And I just thought, you know, and I'd heard rumours that when you're even doing a warm-up, see, like what I was saying about the Leeds, the camaraderie, we'd always have a laugh, but as soon as you step onto the pitch and it becomes so professional, it's unreal. There was a fine line, but I'd heard rumours at Liverpool that you couldn't even talk in the warm-up and there was so many rules, you know, and I'm thinking, hold on, like, I like to have a laugh. I'm a bubbly person. And I just thought, you know what? This just doesn't seem right for me today.
Do you think that would have brought something out of your game as well, though, Bo? Was that in your mind? Like, do you know, every player's different. Like before the game, like you say, you're bubbly, you'd like a laugh and that. If you couldn't have done that at Liverpool, it probably would have affected your game on the pitch, do you think?
Yeah, because then I'm going home and then like I've not even... Because when you know, Ginge, you have so many hours in the day that you have to try and occupy yourself. And if I'm living in Liverpool on my alone, then if I can't even have a laugh at work to a certain extent, then what? My whole life is just like
robots.
Yeah, like regimented. So I just thought, you know, it'd be different. If I'd only done like 3 years at Leeds and then gone to there, it'd have been different. But to do six and then another five away from home, so far away from home. But I'm half contradicting myself here because I know what's coming. Because where I moved after that was even further away from home. I'm contradicting myself. But at that time, it just didn't feel right. The combination of another 5 years plus not being able to have a laugh here and there and be so regimented, I think. But I look back now, and obviously hindsight's a lovely thing. But that's the one thing I regret in football.
What, not going
to Liverpool?
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, given I regret
the years
that
you spent at Newcastle.
Yeah. Because
did you regret it? Not instantly, but
not instantly. So,
like now you've already finished.
Towards the end, I should have gone there.
Stop the transfer then.
I just said to my agent, "Look, this
not happening.
Yeah, this ain't going to work."
How did that go down with Liverpool?
Yeah, they wasn't too happy. It wasn't too happy because we were so far along the line.
When you read about this, it seems like it sounds like it's presented like Hulé pulled the plug, but it was actually you.
Well, I was on the treatment table, and then halfway through, and then we had a break. And then I spoke to my agent and said,
"Not feeling it."
Did you?
Wow!
I've got visions of you and your agent just like scuttling off on the training ground, or did you have to sit there and front it with them and say, "We ain't doing this"?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Just said, like, it just don't feel right. So, but that is the one regret I've in my whole career. That I look back and think I should have gone there because they was flying at the time.
Yeah.
So we was just above them. Like Leeds was just above them at the time, and we was in Champions League. They was in the Champions League, and then obviously Leeds fell out of Champions League, and then Liverpool went on to win the Champions League. So it was, I look back and think that was a mistake.
And was you leaving Leeds the start of the money trouble at Leeds? Was you like one of the first ones, the big players out of there then?
I had to move on then. Like, too many things had happened there for myself. So I had to then move on. And then once Glenn Rowe had come knocking on the door, it was like, wow, I'm going back home and I'm going back to the club that I supported as a kid. It was a no-brainer. The only problem was that West Ham was bottom when I came. So he said, look, come and try and help us stay up. So my heart overruled my head because realistically, should never have gone there, like for your own
on a
career.
6 month contract.
And my contract then, I'd already... Because that was the summer of Liverpool. The Liverpool situation was in the summer. And then it was the January window that I was then going to become a free agent at the end of the season. So then I'd agreed to go to Newcastle in January, but come and help West Ham for now.
Oh, really? So when you joined West Ham in the January, the Newcastle deal was kind of done?
Yeah, we was agreed that that's where I'd go in the summer.
No way!
Yeah.
Why did you sound so shocked by that? I'll tell you why, right? Because in that January of 2003, we're bang in trouble. We sign you.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
We've got Lee Bowyer joining. This is incredible. We had Les Ferdinand, I think, came in that same window. Rufus Brevett. Yeah. And we were already a half-decent team. We had a few injuries.
There's some great players. Like, when I arrived,
What was this, 2003?
January 2003, yeah.
But when I arrived, I'm looking in the dressing room and you had Joe Cole. Michael Carrick,
Jermaine Defoe,
Glenn
Johnson,
David James,
unbelievable.
Glenn Johnson was just breaking through. You had Steve Lomas. Who was the striker?
Di Canio,
Canute, what striker he is?
Yeah.
Like a proper player. And then you had Di Canio that was obviously off the rails a little bit, but the talent was unreal. Trevor Sinclair, the players, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? Nigel Winterburn, like left back. And I'm thinking, what's like?
How were they here?
You bottom. Like, you've got a proper team here. But I don't know. They conceded too many set pieces here and there, and we didn't even rehearse them. Like, when I turned up, it was crazy. I was thinking, hold on.
That was the reason they were, like, you're saying about the players, but if it's not if it's not right, you could see it. Because you see it straight away.
Because I come from, at Leeds, we'd have a laugh.
Yeah.
But as soon as you step on the pitch, like
business time,
you go like and you're guided and you do what you're told. At West Ham, I turned up and I was thinking, hold on, this is like an holiday camp. Like this is
really,
this is crazy. Like it was mad. I was disappointed.
Disappointed and shocked,
because I was thinking, this is why you are where you are. Look at the players, all the talent that you've got. But again, when I turned up, I had one leg. Like, my ankle was busted. Scott Parker done that.
Did he?
Yeah, he done that. Yeah. Bad tackle from behind. So it's all right. We got even.
That injury happened at West Ham.
No, it happened at Leeds. At Leeds, so then yeah. I then come.
Right.
Where was Scott? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course, he wouldn't
Scott
have been
was
there
at
yet.
Charlton. Yeah.
Bad tackle, eh?
Yeah. But then when I got him back in at Charlton, then he then all the Charlton fans then turned on me because obviously they loved me because I was a kid come through and moved on. But then once I got Scotty back, then they turned on me a little bit. But it was a bad tackle. He caught me with a bad one, from behind and messed up my, around my Achilles. So I had to have an operation in the summer. I just couldn't run no more.
Yeah, because you didn't play. I think it's 11 games, I think, you might play in that first spell. It's not loads.
And they would have all been hobbling as well. So yeah. I was trying, but it just didn't work. Like, I just couldn't move. So that's what I'm saying. I came here. My heart told me to come to try and help. But I knew that I was struggling and I just thought, I'll be all right. Like, I'll get through it. Just play through that pain and then just try and help. But I just physically couldn't in the end. Killed me.
It's interesting, you know, like, because we've spoken to people who are in that team. I'm a bit obsessed with that 2002-2003 season because we have so much talent. It doesn't make sense to me how we went down.
No. Well, it does now.
Well, it does now. When I speak to people like Freddie Canuto, who have been to the club, been at the club a while, they can't really give us a good reason. When I speak to people like you, and I've spoken to Les Ferdinand about this, who came in the January, they all say they're really surprised by the way things were being run. And I don't know if that's because they're coming from the outside looking in, you're a bit of an outsider, maybe you can analyze the situation better than people who'd been here a bit longer.
Yeah, but it was just the basics. Like, I'll tell you one simple thing. So when I arrived, say 3 games in, we was conceding set piece after set piece after set piece. And I'm thinking, wow, like, and then the manager said to me, like, Lee, what do you think? Like, you've just come from there. And I said, I'll tell you what I think. I'll be honest with you. How about if we start rehearsing set pieces?
Yeah, might help.
And on a Friday, and give everyone a job. Because it just seemed like it was...
What, was it that? But as in there was that no was,
that
setup? Was,
yeah, and then from that day, we started rehearsing on the Friday and doing set pieces, and then we stopped conceding from set pieces. And then we started to win a few games, you know? And you're thinking, okay, like, come on.
It's not rocket science here, lads.
No, do you know what I mean? And I've just, like I said, I've just come from there where everything was, like, on ball, and then I came, I was thinking, wow, like, it wasn't good, like. Yeah. I could see when I arrived a few weeks in, I'm thinking, okay, I can see why you're here. Should never be here, but I can see why.
You missed the final few games of the season with that injury. So you weren't there. I think Birmingham away is the final game of the season when we go down. So where did you go to St Andrews? Did you wash it at all?
I'd just had the operation then. So I'd have been at home just watching from home.
Oh,
so.
Man. Yeah. So you go to Newcastle and a big exclusive. That was a pre-arranged deal. I can't believe that. Yeah. What if we'd have stayed up and you'd like starred for us?
But the deal was like, I'm just coming to try and help. Yeah. Like that was it.
Irrelevant
it was
if you stayed up or not.
No, it was just come and try and help. And then obviously I wanted to play for West Ham because obviously that was something I wanted to tick. So I was like, okay, tick 2 things here and then move on from there and whatever's meant to be is meant to be. So yeah, that was always the deal before I arrived. And, and West Ham knew that as well.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts like Chelsea and like Spurs is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating and review and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show. So you go to Newcastle, you have a few years in Newcastle, and then you come back for a second spell. And as you say, you feel like you had unfinished business.
Yeah, exactly that, unfinished business. And obviously Pards, I knew Pards. I played with him at Cheltenham, so that made it a little bit strange. We played in midfield together.
Oh, really?
At Cheltenham.
Was he much of a player, Pards?
He was like a...
Palace as well, that
one? Yeah, box to box, put his foot in.
Yeah, I can imagine.
More of an organiser, because he was at the end of the career when I've obviously played with him, and I was just a kid coming through. So, but he helped me, guided me a little bit, you know. So, but then for him to be your manager, and I knew him as Pards, like, all right, Pards.
Yeah.
So I'd say to him, all right, Pards, Gaffer, sorry. Like, but he was a good man. And then he come knocking in the summer, and then I thought, again, like, Newcastle, I don't know. It's just, I'm just a southern lad, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was at Newcastle and I loved my time there. Like, so passionate. The fans are unreal. But it's so cold.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
It's so cold. It snows 5 times a year. Like, let me tell you, when I say it's cold, I mean it's a different country. Even from Leeds to Newcastle, which is only 2 hours away, it's a different country. Like, so seeing that, and I spoke to someone at Newcastle recently. This is God's honest truth. I spoke to someone, one of the coaches, because they've had so many injuries. And we had the same problem when we was there. Bellamy, Dyer, like everyone injured all the time in the winter. And I said to him, I rang him because I know the coach. And I said to him, do you know what? This is my philosophy. Like, this is this my thinking. It's so cold up there. You can't even keep warm. So then when you're standing around and you're doing like set pieces or you're doing shape, like to say the Newcastle playing Liverpool, right? You've got to watch Salah and then you stop, you have a little talk, then you move on. By the time you move on, your muscles are frozen. And that's my philosophy. Like, I could be completely wrong, but I think the weather definitely plays a part up there. It's freezing. So then I had an opportunity. They offered me another deal, Newcastle. They said, look, we're going to give you another year. I had a year left and we're going to give you another year on top. And I was playing alongside Scotty and a young lad called Emre, good midfielders. Like, and I was flying. I was scoring goals and Glenn Roeder was manager there. So he said, look, Lee, I want to give you another. I was like, no, Glenn, West Ham's coming. And I'm going home. I said, like, that's enough. It. I'm going home. No. Like, it's,
I'm going
the
home.
The weather played a big part. I left my house once from Canary Wharf. I was living in, I had a place in Canary Wharf. And I left there and I drove and I got to the Angel of the North. This is the God's honest truth. Angel of the North, same 4 hours. It took me longer from the Angel of the North to my house, which was an hour on a normal drive. Took me longer to get from the Angel of the North to there because of the snow. There was no snow until I hit the Angel of the North. And then I don't know if the weathermen just didn't know that was coming. And I was just skating from side to side for hours to try and get an hour up the road on a normal drive. The weather was
the final nail in the coffin.
That was it, Jim. I was thinking, what's this? This ain't even weather. Like, this is, we're in the Arctic here. Like, it was mad. Especially in London, because you don't get like snow really, do you?
Well,
not when I was growing up. Not often anyway, but 4 times a year it snows, yeah. It was crazy. But again, people are so nice up there and everything. Yeah. Like, I can't fault the place. Played with some amazing players, amazing managers, but it was time for me to go.
So you come back for your second spell. Interestingly, like, your time at Newcastle, most people will talk about the fight with Kieran Dyer. Like, it's a big moment in your career at Newcastle. But of course, when you come back to West Ham, Kieran Dyer arrives back in the dressing room here. I presume you'd made up by then.
Well, I brought him with me. Just to keep me company.
He was like, it's too cold up here.
Yeah, it's too cold. Come back down here, Kieran. He was getting injured too much. So and Bellamy. Bellamy came
Bella's
as well.
As well, same time. Yeah.
So Kieran and Bellas. But again, like, that's when the Icelandic people were in charge, I think, and chucking some money around. But yeah, Kieran came. Again, injured quite a lot, I think, in his time here. Like, we was just unlucky.
He had a bad injury, double leg break, wasn't he?
Bristol Rovers away in the cup game. It was,
I was the first one there when he.
Yeah, there's a picture.
And I was the one like, what's the word? Consoling him. Like, yeah, consoling him. I was one. Yeah, me and Kieran, like, a moment of madness up there. Is what it is. Would I change it? Yeah. How do you even fall into that? Like, not even recognising
so
that
there's 50,000
people there. Like, I don't know.
I think when you go, though, you go, then you don't.
That was my problem. I was like green red. I never had amber. So then, like, if I ever did overstep the line.
Sounds like you went a bit blue in Newcastle.
Are we all right talking about it? Like, how was Souness with that?
You too.
He must have gone mental, did he?
Yeah, and Shearer more so.
Big Al, More than Souness.
Yeah, because Al obviously recognised straight away. We had a semi-final against Man United, FA Cup. So then we was banned for that. So Al was like, well done, like, because he'd not won nothing in Newcastle. Course, yeah. We thought that was a chance. So yeah, we both had to miss out on that. So yeah, they weren't happy.
Weren't happy.
Let's put it like that.
Oh, two tough men as well. Sunnis and Shiva.
Don't want to, you don't imagine upset them.
You don't upset you wouldn't be fighting them against them pair.
No, they're the wrong pair.
I just want to ask about this. Like, when you both get sent off, do you both go in the same dressing room? Or you had you kind of...
We had security come with us though. So even in the tunnel, we still was like still fuming. And the two massage lads, they worked in prisons as well. So they was like, like prison guards. Their day job is like massers, and then their night job is like prison guards. So then they're big, strong men. So they just picked us up, chucked them on their shoulders.
Settled down, like, put away.
Two little kids, like sit in the corner, little kids. So, but obviously we got separated. We're still in the same dressing room. Then you start then coming down and thinking, oh my God, what have we done? Like, and we was gutted. So, but
when you rejoin West Ham, your first season back, we're on this high. We've just been to the FA Cup final. We signed Tevez and Mascherano. Ginger's there. And as a fan, I was thinking, great, here we go. We're going to really kick on this season. But of course, we struggle.
Yeah.
And then you're instrumental towards the end of the season with the Great Escape. You're playing a lot of those games, Arsenal away. It included the first team to beat Arsenal at the Emirates.
Bobby scored, didn't he?
1-0. Remember that game? They had 38 shots on goal or something, or 38 attempts, and he won 1-0.
Yeah.
Unreal. I tell that story all the time. It's the maddest game of football ever.
Yeah. No, those were good times. But
like, Blackburn away you played, where it started as well.
Yeah, Blackburn away. Middlesbrough you played.
Tevez on the line. Bobby's
game.
Hit it against Tevez. Tevez is offside or whatever, you got a dodgy penalty.
What about Mascherano can't get in the team?
I know.
I was reading to someone about this the other day, and I was thinking, like, it just makes me laugh because I think you've got these two Argentinian stars, and they've turned up, and you're thinking, have we got these?
Like, did you know who they were when they turned up?
I didn't know who they was, but I know they play for Argentina. If you play for Argentina, you're a proper player.
You can play. Yeah. I remember being at Upton Park, and we were literally training, I think, and Pard's come out of the tunnel with them.
Yeah.
And everyone's going... And I'm thinking, am I the only one who ain't got a clue who these boys are?
I didn't know.
I'm not a big fan of South American football. No. You know what I mean? I think I knew you would be thinking the same.
Yeah, I said to you earlier, I don't take no notice of nothing. But I know I've got two Argentinian players.
You've got a chance.
They can play.
Yeah.
One's a striker who's going to score you goals, and one's a midfielder that's going to protect you. Like that's a good flipping addition to the squad. Yeah. But they couldn't get in the team.
Hmm.
And then you're thinking, what's going on?
Were they good in they're brilliant in training, I presume.
You can tell. Like, yeah. They weren't fit, though, Ginge. No. When they arrived, they weren't fit. No. Like, you can tell they've had a nice summer.
To put it politely.
Like, they took a while to catch up.
Carlos, he was obviously... He didn't try to tie his laces in training, though. Can you remember? Didn't really try a leg in training. But come to a Saturday, turn the tap on, he was... unbelievable.
Yeah.
But Javier was at some trainer, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Flat out smashing into people. Like,
it was a machine, though.
Yeah.
It was a machine. Like, the way he read the game, like, read it, broke everything up. And I like someone to just protect that back. What he done at Liverpool? So he left us, couldn't get a game for us, went to Liverpool, and then played in the Champions League final that season.
That went on to Barcelona.
Yeah, but I mean, that season that he left, January. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'm right here. He left in January and then went and played in the Champions League final later that season. Like, what's going on?
How's that work? Hayden was on fire, though.
Yeah.
Hayden Mullins on fire.
Come on, Ginge.
Everyone usually says, Hayden was really keeping him out of the team. You're the first person to say no.
All right. He might have been playing well, but the lad's just gone and played in the Champions League final. Like, come on. Like, I love Hayden and he was a great lad, but... We can't, like you just said, he went on to play for Barcelona. Like, how's he not getting in our team? I don't know. Maybe that's a question for Pards. Ask Pards. Pards. Maybe he sees something we didn't. Oh, I didn't anyway.
Like where we found ourselves, talked about the Great Escape. You talked about 2003. How was a team we found ourselves in that spot? I still don't really know how we was there.
Crazy. But who came in? Curbs after that?
They swapped, didn't they?
Yeah.
Pards went Charlton. Charlton come. Curbs came from Charlton.
Yeah. Curbs, I felt sorry for Curbs.
Why?
Because he got the sack. And to be fair, when he first came in, that's when I'd done my shoulder. So I dislocated my shoulder. Bad tackle at Reading, New Year's Day. I'll say a bad tackle, it's my own fault, really. he come on my blind side. I should have known he was coming. And then I turned and he just wiped me out. It wasn't Sidney. It was the other one that played in midfield with him. I can't remember his name. But he wiped me out. It was a good tackle, but a bad tackle for me. And then I landed. I went up in the air and my arm just landed and dislocated my shoulder. I had to come off. So then Kerb said, look, don't have the operation because obviously now you're coming into the back end of the season. Mm. Don't have the operation because that was the second time it had come out. He said, just strengthen it and we're going to need you for the running. So I was like, okay, I didn't have the operation. Now this bloody nightmare. I play tennis, Ginger. I hit a smash and then my shoulder pops out. It's a nightmare. So yeah, I should have had the operation, really.
You still haven't had it?
No, I still ain't had it, no. There's no point now, is
there? that's not Kerb's fault, that's your fault.
Yeah, but he stopped me from having it there. He persuaded me that was the right thing to do. He was good at that, Kerb, because obviously I knew him from Cheltenham as well when I was a kid coming through. He brought me through.
Well, he was half right, though, because you'd played in
a lot of the games.
Kept stayed up.
But I felt for him because then they moved him on. And I think at the time they moved him on. We was like sixth or something in the league. Mm. Sixth, seventh. We was up there. And then they brought in Zola. I thought it was harsh on Kerbs. Like, I have to be honest. Pards, I can't really remember what happened with Pards. We were struggling.
I think it was a game against Bolton.
So then they brought in Kerbs, stayed up. And then Kerbs had a good start to the season.
Yeah.
And then they moved him on. And then
I feel like that time when Pards and Kerbs swapped, both managing the club. Did we not go to, I think we went to Charlton that season, Pards now being Charlton manager, and lost 4-0, didn't we? Was it 4-0 or 3-0?
Yeah, there was a heavy defeat to Charlton.
And then you're thinking, oh, wow.
I think Anton told me there was a lot of recriminations after that game. There was a big set two in the dressing room, if you remember.
Yeah, me doing a lot of shouting, but every goal was my fault. Typical me, Bowie.
Yeah, what are you doing?
And everyone's looking and going, just shut up, James.
The goalies, they do that, don't they? Whenever a goalie lets a goal in, and then he jumps up and starts shouting at the defenders. And, hold on, it's just gone in near post. Yeah. Like, what you do is just slip through your hands and you want to blame someone
else. I've got
a
big bugbear on this, and I know you will as well. When a goalkeeper makes a save and gets up and celebrates.
Yeah. That's your job.
It's your job,
that's what you're paid to do.
Save it, catch it, kick it, roll it out to the boys who know what
you're doing. Yeah, easy. It's an easy job. You ain't got to run around or not. Easy job. But yeah, then Zola came in, didn't he?
Yeah. But your second season, we have the great escape and then we finished 10th in that next season and we've got some great players. I was just looking at the lineups. You mentioned Craig Bellamy, but Freddie Ljungberg, Nobby Solano, Scott Parker's in the team now. And it felt like it was just a really settled period for West Ham, it felt like.
So obviously, them lads that was up in Newcastle with me, they realised it was freezing. And they wanted to come to London. I was telling them how warm it is down south. So Nobby Solano, like, how did Nobby end up at West Ham? South America, he's thinking, that's a bit of me. I need some sunshine. what a lovely lad. What a player. His right foot was unreal.
I've never seen someone hit a ball on the outside of his foot like it in my life.
Some of the crosses, Alan Shearer owes him a lot because some of the crosses he puts in is unreal. And Al used to obviously.
Remember going to watch him in random pubs play his trumpet with his band?
I'm going to need more detail on this, please. That was in Epping, wasn't it?
It was in Epping.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but he was in some sort of band playing a trumpet, and he'd say, right, we've got a gig in the, making a pub up, King William in Epping. Six of us, seven of us boys go, fancy going up and watching Nobby tonight playing his band. And we'd go up, have a couple of pints, cheer him on.
He's on the trumpet.
He's on the trumpet. Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah,
he was
proper. Yes. I almost got my wedding at that. I got married at that sort of time. He wouldn't have charged me over, Nobby. No.
He used to play that. Remember in America, the horses? Whenever something was going to happen, he'd start playing that in a dressing room. Like, what's going to happen? Something's happening. Nobby's playing. he was good. Nice fella. Really nice fella as well. Heart of gold.
That's the year I did my knee, I think, 2008.
Yeah, it was. You missed a big chunk of that season. And then your third season and your second spell, you're kind of in and out the team a bit more. And I think it was in the January of that third season that you go to Birmingham, where you go on and you have great success. You win the League Cup, play at Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when Zola come in, isn't it? That's where I was heading earlier, because as soon as Zola come in, and again, this is a true story, Kerbs went and we weren't doing too bad. And I was doing all right. I thought score a goal here and there. But then Zola came and then the first time I met him, I was on the treatment table just getting strappings before training. And then he goes around, shakes everyone's hand, hello, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. And then he says to me, I still have scars from when you kicked me.
Really?
And that was the first thing he said to me.
And as he's saying this, is he like laughing Serious? About it?
No.
Dead straight?
Oh, yeah, straight.
Really?
Don't it prove it? I left in January.
Yeah, that's what I was coming to. So it was straight
yeah,
off the bat?
Yeah, straight off the bat, like, boom. And I knew, like, that's not a good start. I'm not the brightest, but I know that ain't a good start. So then, but to be fair, a lovely man. Like, yeah. Lovely man. He should have been playing in the team.
Mate, everyone around this era says this.
Do you remember that time when he dinked?
Rolled Matty and dinked Greeny?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I tell it all the time.
Oh,
we just signed unreal. Matty and Green. Like, Matty Upson's come in, and I don't know if Matty tells his story, but I'll tell it for him.
So Zola's two touch as well,
in.
By the way.
Yeah, two touch game. Ball's played into Zola. He used to train a lot. He's rolled Matty. Matty's sort of like, don't know where he is. And then he's dinked Rob Green.
From the edge of the box.
From the edge of the box.
And Rob Green just watched it like going over his head, like in the top corner, and we're all looking at each other thinking, this fella should
you
be
might
playing.
Have been in the conversation that we generally had in the dressing room saying he should be playing.
He should be playing, yeah.
We had a bit of a striker crisis, didn't we, that season? It was like, honestly,
he was better than us. He used to embarrass people in training, Megum and everything.
I think we had to tell him that he couldn't train anymore.
Yeah, you got to
stop. Boys, like the gaffer's training, Megging people and all that. The boys are coming Saturday, like demoralised by the gaffer
running
training.
Rings around everyone.
Like 42, 43 crazy. At the time.
Yeah.
Free kicks as well. He used to take the boys free kicks, didn't he? He'd score take 10 from one side, 10 from the middle, 10 from the
left foot,
from the
right foot, like all different feet. And you're thinking, oh,
like 30 free kicks. He's scoring like 23 free kicks, and our boys are hitting the wall, it's going over the bar. Yeah. Pass any chance.
But he was
but not a good start though.
But that, like, he was a good player. So then again, going back to the Leeds days, we was a physical side, young physical side. To stop players like that, Ginge, like you would have played against many a top striker, and then to stop people like that, sometimes you can't even get close enough to kick them.
Yeah,
like you've got to try and slow him down. Like he's, and that's a credit to him because of how good he is, you know. So then sometimes we'd foul him. Like that was the game.
Part of the game, wasn't it?
It was part of the game. You can't do it now.
Foul him.
You'd foul him. Like that's what you'd do. You'd have to try and slow him down. And obviously,
he clearly remembered it.
I was gonna say he clearly remembered it, mate.
He didn't actually show me the scars. It more than made it feel a bit better. But lovely man though, lovely man. And then he just said, look Lee, this ain't working, like try and go in January. I was like, okay.
Well, he said to you, try and go.
Yeah, try and find a club. Yeah.
Wow, blimey.
So that's why I went to Birmingham. So
that must have been the same January I moved to Villa then.
I don't know.
Would that have been the same year?
It may well have been, yeah. It was definitely around that time.
Or maybe that was the year after.
So you go on, you had great success at Birmingham, and then you moved into management. Firstly at Charlton, but now manager of Montserrat, which I have to say, I had to look Montserrat up on a map. I thought I was in the right area, but it sounds like a lovely gig.
It's a very nice gig. I'm not going to lie. But
how did it come about first?
They just approached me, James. Like I'd been offered a couple of things here and there, but it just wasn't right. Do you know what I mean? My first two gigs has been tough. My Charlton one was
hard. Did really well at Charlton, though.
It did really well, but I've not been anywhere where I've had anything to go with. Do you know what I mean? Like at Charlton, I took over last 10 games of the season, just temporary. They said, you've got 3 games. Like I had no intention of being a manager ever. And the only reason why I went into coaching is just to pass on the knowledge. Like I've worked under some unbelievable managers, like Terry Venables, Sir Bobby Robson, Graham, so, you know, like George Graham, like a bit of everything from everybody. And then to play with the players that I've played with. So I felt, okay, Lee, don't just sit at home and watch telly every day. Pass your knowledge on, you know, and that's what the only reason why I went back into it. But then the Montserrat thing came up, like Charlton, it was 3 games I was meant to have. Then they said, okay, you've won the first 3 games, carry on. So then I carried on that season and we slipped into the playoffs. And then from the playoffs, the next season was my first full season. Then we got promotion. But we went up a division and then took the budget down. Like the man was trying to sell the club. So, which I understood.
Do you know, you say you didn't plan on being a manager. Did you enjoy it when you were doing it though?
Yeah, I loved it because as a coach, you know what I mean? You ain't got no say really. Have you?
Yeah,
you can give your opinion. But then I went from giving my opinion to then now putting my own stamp on everything. Mm. Like there was a few people not doing the right things that I felt from a distance because I wasn't the manager. But then as soon as I took over, right, that stopped it. Yeah. Like that don't happen. You want to play that, do that, then you're gone. Mm. I'm firm but fair, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then obviously went to Birmingham. That was just crazy. Right thing for me to do because, again, I had a connection with the club. They was banging trouble and I felt I could keep them up. So I felt like my time was done at Charlton because it was like just wasn't getting backed, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm gonna go there, keep them up. When I spoke to them, I asked them the questions about financial fair play because they'd been done the season before. They said that no, there's no financial fair play problems. Keep us up, you'll have money to spend. Da, da, da. And then I kept them up with two games to spare.
Yeah.
I only had 10. Quite comfortable, won 5 yeah. And drew 2, lost 1. And end of the season, they said, no, sorry, we've got no money. And you've got to get rid of players to bring players in. So I lost 6 senior players. It was just, impossible I'm thinking, job. Like, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? I've just kept you up. I've done everything. I kept my word. I said I'd come and keep you up. And then now everything's just changed.
Yeah.
So then, yeah. But I kept them up again and then moved on. So.
And then Montserrat.
This is so nice because I'm working with a lot of non-league players. The people from Montserrat, they have an ambition of trying to get to the World Cup. Is it going to be tough? Of course it is. We're ranked 176 in the world. But it's an ambition and it's a bit of a journey and I want to try and help. I know one thing, I've signed a 3-year deal and then if I leave in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, whatever it is, I'll leave them in a better place than when I took over. So that's all I can do. I've done it at Charlton, I've done it at Birmingham. Yeah. So that's my aim. And I'm passing on my knowledge to a lot of non-league players already. We've played 6 games and they've gone from like there to there. That's my job, do you know what I mean? And I love it. So, and when I'm doing it, I'm in the Caribbean.
Not in Newcastle.
There's one thing we know about you. Weather is very important.
Key, very important. So, but I've gone to parts of the world already that I would never normally go to, like Nicaragua. We played in Nicaragua, played them home and away in October. And like crazy. Mm. Like you just see in different parts of the world, Dominican Republic.
Must be a lot of traveling though, is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of traveling because you're in the Caribbean already. Like that's your base, you know? So even to get to Montserrat, you've got to fly to Antigua and then jump on a crazy little plane. And I'm not the best
not
of
the
flyers.
Best flyer, yeah.
Because obviously my time at Leeds when we had that plane crash. So I'm not a great flyer, but we sit on this little 8-seater to get you a 20-minute flight across and it's bouncing around and I'll get off, I'm sweating. Yeah. I'm like a nervous wreck, but I can do that. A few times a year, so but yeah, I'm loving it there.
Yeah, and the qualification campaign really kicks off in June, doesn't it? I was having a look at your fixtures, so yeah. I'm going to be following Montserrat.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I think many West Ham fans.
So we're away in October. We've got a couple of friendlies in October. March, and then we meet up in May and do the June thing. But we've got a tough draw, you know. We've got Panama and they're ranked 41 in the world. I think it's like maybe we might have a bit of luck like that Arsenal game. They might have a 38 shots and we might win 1-0.
Just camp on the edge of the box.
Borrow Bobby.
Yeah, camp on the edge of the box and give it to Bobby. That was our plan.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, and then obviously we've got Nicaragua again. We played them last year and then we lost 3-0. So I'm hoping now I'm going with a different mentality on this one and I'm going to just try and surprise them, try something completely different. We tried that sit back and
I think with international football, I can say about Wales, as soon as you get a result and it starts snowballing, you can see that, you know, you're progressing and there's a chance of qualifying. Funny things happen, mate.
Yeah, yeah. You never know. Football's mad, like on a one-off game. Like you said earlier, that Birmingham against Arsenal in the final. There's no way on earth we should have won that on paper. We should have lost, like, on paper. But paper's not the real game.
Yeah.
And you never know. A one-off game, anything can happen. So,
Lee, thank you so much. Cheers, I've had so much fun. No, and it's been insightful. We've got some exclusives on this podcast. I didn't see that coming. brilliant stuff. Good luck with Montserrat. We'll all be watching. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on Ironcast. Until then, come on, you Irons.
Sports Social Podcast Network.